I got the amplifier to start with tonight. That's all right. This thing go down. Good evening. Y'all doing all right? Thank you, Jesus. Y'all need some exercise. Let's stand up and pray together, will you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, man. Father, we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank you so much, God, for the liberty to be able to praise you and dance and worship and, God, and honor you, God. We're not ashamed of you, God. Thank you, God, that we're not ashamed, Jesus. God, I bow my knee to you. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke you. Help us, Holy Ghost. God, in the name of Jesus, it's a great honor for me to be up here. In Jesus' name, thank you for the unction of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would y'all please be seated and grab your Bibles, please. Stuff everywhere. It brought to my attention that I have made I've come on a little bit strong in a couple of areas, and one of them is this: I do not fight anybody with my fists. Now, if somebody's feeling frisky, after a while we can go outside and roll in the snow. That's all right. But there is no need for the arm of the flesh when you got the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Don't take me wrong. I work out not so I can whoop somebody, but so I can be in shape to hike mountains and carry backpacks and take my bicycle and beat people in that kind of a way. All right? Good. Glad y'all understand that. I hate to have to go get my billy club. No. I guess I shouldn't joke so much. But I'm such a serious fella, I really am blessed when I get the opportunity to laugh. And I do have something to share with you. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you, because I was encouraged last night. Hopefully you were. There's something I want to show you. Let's go to Matthew. While y'all are turning there, and while I'm turning there, I want to tell y'all thank you for letting my family and I come by here. You've blessed us. It was an honor to be in the midst of the elders today. Some of them, I'm not sure it's everybody, but I just want to tell you thank you for coming there. Let me talk. Let me be honest, because I have been honest, and I'm going to continue to be that way in Jesus' name. I'm going to not hold back just because of any kind of, for any reason. And I do have a, would you like to share with them what about the thing in May, remember? Would that be all right? I mean, it's not necessarily, it may not happen, but it's something for y'all to pray about anyway. I've got to have some nerve. I do have nerve, as y'all have always been able to tell. I can look somebody right in the face and tell them what I think is right. Okay? But it looks like the Holy Ghost might be giving me an opportunity to do something that's rare. I asked for an audience with Ted Kennedy. And I think they've accepted. Not for the purpose of gloating or being a brash, goofy, charismatic, or evangelical, but for the purpose of looking at a man right in the face and telling him, you got to repent, you got devils. So I'd like for y'all to pray about that. That looks like that's coming to pass. I really would. Wouldn't that be something? Matthew 28. Wouldn't that be something for God to let a knucklehead like me, that with very little school education, but with a lot of Holy Ghost education, wouldn't that be something to stand before such a powerful human being and just tell him Jesus loves him? And that there's a better way, because your way isn't working and you know it. Raping and killing people is not the way. Jesus is the way. Wouldn't that be something? That would be an honor, wouldn't it? In the name of Jesus. I just need the Holy Ghost. I think I got him. there's something that y'all need that I need that we all have since kids, like these children will stand up here tonight. I remember whenever I grew up in my background as Southern Baptist. My daddy was one of the different kind. He wasn't a normal Southern Baptist character. I think I've shared that with y'all before. He was a soul winner. He still to this day is. But they drilled us. They called it literally a Bible drill. I mean, they drilled us and drilled us and drilled us. And I did drift away and rebel. But even though in my rebellion, I might have been drunk somewhere, but I could quote you Bible and you could not beat me. I knew how to handle that sword, even though I didn't understand what it was for. And then when that Holy Ghost got me out of that garbage pit, you know, and cleaned me up, and He set my feet on the rock, and He blessed me, then all that drilling from my youth began to pay off. Because I got out in the real fight with the real devil in the real world, and I was able to use that sword, and still am, to defeat him. And I just want to tell you that is a very necessary thing that y'all are doing with y'all's children. I do it with mine too. But look, here in Matthew chapter 28, the last part of that chapter is called what? The Great Commission, right? I never did get the honor to go and fight for our country. I tried to once. And I don't know if I should tell this either. But I got drafted, and so I had real long hair. Cut myself a big mohawk. Went into the induction center. There was 400 of us standing there. And they called out my name. Wouldn't you know it? And so we had a little bit of a disagreement, myself and those soldiers. And they just couldn't wait to get their hands on me. But I never did get a commission until I met Jesus. Now, God has commissioned us. You and I are commissioned. And it's a great commission. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege. Every kind of obstacle that there is tries to stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. And we use all kind of gimmicks and equations and potions and motions to try to get it going. But I got some news for you. Our gimmicks and emotions and equations don't work. What works is the Holy Ghost. And when you get commissioned by the Holy Ghost, there is no thing that can take it away from you. It don't matter whether you like me or not. You can't stop what God's going to do through me. Whether you like me or not has nothing to do with what God's going to do with me. Isn't that fun? That really does give a guy freedom. I'm not kidding you. That does not give me liberty to misuse it or to hurt someone, but that gives me freedom and liberty to go about my business for the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what the King of Kings wants me to do, regardless of your emotional input. It really does. It allows me to look at me, and like today, I respect you people. And I was sitting in that room with those guys, but I can look, have squared shoulders, look you right eyeball to eyeball, and answer you the way I think I'm right. Just honestly and forward, just I think I'm right. I'm commissioned to do a particular job. Do you understand that? And I think you are. I think we all get commissioned through Jesus. Verse 16, the 11 disciples. I am a disciple. Don't know what my number is. I wasn't there that day. But I'm here tonight, and I'm still a disciple. They went their way into Galilee, into a mountain. A commissioned individual has to realize a couple of things. Your rights get taken away from you. Do you understand that I enjoy the work I did before I began to preach? Was I was a roughneck, and I worked offshore in the Gulf of Mexico and on land rigs drilling for oil and gas, and I really liked that job. Rugged and rough, and you accomplish a lot, you move around a lot, you get to, it was fun to me. Made lots of money. But once I began to get commissioned by the Lord Jesus, I want y'all to understand something happened to me. When I said okay to the Holy Ghost, then now I've got to follow the Holy Ghost. Period. If I don't, I find myself out of the will of God. And I find myself in trouble. The 11 disciples here, the first thing they did, Jesus told them, meet me in the mountain. And he named a mountain and he left them. Do you realize they had to go? They had to trust him. They had to believe him that he was going to be there. He had already been killed and taken away one time. But the disciples trusted the Lord Jesus. Do you hear me? And when they met him again, it was at the appointed time, at the appointed place. It's very necessary for you as a Christian to get an appointment from Jesus. I'm telling you, it's necessary. Back in the middle 70s, whenever I was getting myself organized and trying to figure out what God was wanting me to do with my life and my family, and we were trying to get going, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to do. I just knew I had to go. I just knew that I was commissioned. So I took my time and I received an appointment from Jesus. And I began to call out to Jesus, Jesus, I'll stay here in these streets of this city and I'll keep my little church going because we're growing, we're doing good. You're touching people, there's healing. I'm seeing people saved. Jesus, I'm happy, but I don't feel like that's the end of my life. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Tell me. I'll do it. It doesn't matter to me. Jesus spoke to me. The first place he spoke to me, to my heart, I was in prayer. It was in the morning time before daylight. I had to pray before I went to work. He spoke to me to go to New Zealand. Haven't been there. Hadn't been there yet. But he spoke to me in my heart to go to New Zealand. Lots of you folks in here, you've heard the voice of the Lord. You truly have. But because nothing is manifested around you to prove it, you're getting frustrated. You're getting all bent out of shape. And now you're wondering if you was even commissioned in the first place. Well, I rebuke that. I do. I rebuke that. That's not right. If he can save your old stinking hide out of hell, and if he's told you to do something, you just might as well get ready to trust him, and directly he's going to get around to telling you what to do with it. Just calm down. I don't believe personally that Jesus is coming back in the morning. I'm ready in case he is. In case he does. But I'll tell you, I was talking to these guys this afternoon, and one of them asked me, is there very much area or territory, I don't remember exactly how he put it, left where there's not any gospel? And all I know is where I work. So I honestly said to him, where I work, there is. There's lots of territory where I work that the gospel has never been preached. Where the name of Jesus has never been once testified since the beginning of the fall. So I personally think there's a little bit of time left to do some work. That's my personal opinion. I am definitely ready for in the morning in case it's time. But the way I see, and what I see is, there's a lot of work to be done still. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're feeling a little frustrated, and a little bit disoriented, and a little mad, and a little bit confused, because you've been spoke to by the Holy Ghost, and it just hadn't come about yet, just be patient. That's an order. Listen, these boys went over there. Look at this. They went to into a mountain where Jesus, the chief commander, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He commanded them to go there. So they went. They obeyed Him. That was their appointment. And when they got to that point, and they were calm and they were happy, the first thing they did, what did they do in their appointment? Tell me. They worshiped Jesus. I want you to see it's very important to you and I, to both of us, that our worship is continual. 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 That you take time daily to meet with Jesus. He may be needing to appoint you. He may be wanting to commission you. But you're going to have to understand it's His way, not yours. And I'm not sorry about that, America. I still stand and say, you don't have a vote. You have one right. Bow your knee. That's your right, America. It's not a democracy. The kingdom of God is a dictatorship. Most Americans don't like that. That's why I like the state. I really enjoy saying that. It's fun to me. First of all, they completed their appointment. First thing they did inside their appointment was to worship. Is that what y'all's Bible says? But look at that. Would you believe that verse 17, that last little phrase right there, what does it say? Some doubted. Now in here, of course, I know there ain't no doubters in here. The Bible says, but some doubted. And Jesus began to talk. And He said, that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who is Jesus? Who is He? Talk to me. Is there any possible way to beat Him? There's no possible way to beat Jesus. You can't whoop Him. You can't run Him off. He's the King of Kings. He's the top. Lo máximo, lo más importante, el omnipotente, el rey de reyes. You can't beat Him. He's the number one. And He's all powerful, and it was given to Him by Father God. Once these 11 men had decided to obey and go to their appointed destination Jesus had given them, then they worship Jesus. Listen. Then He begins to confide in them and tell them things that He didn't tell anybody else. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then He looks them right square in the eyes. Verse 19, He said, sit down. The mall is almost open. Is that what He said? He says, sit down. The new Reebok truck is coming with the special tennis shoes. That's not what He said. He said, go ye. He didn't say if everything's in order. He didn't say if you got enough CDs in the bank to back you out there when you're out there. He didn't say if your wife says it's a good idea. He said, go ye therefore. A commissioned person has got the responsibility of submitting to the Holy Ghost, whether it's a male or female, and doing what the Holy Ghost says, regardless of what anybody else says. It's always God to get counsel, but it's always God to obey the Holy Ghost. You hear me? The Bible says you're going to go out there and you're going to do something. You're going to teach. And you're going to baptize. And things are going to begin to happen. Look over at Mark. See, after you go out there is when things begin to happen. There's a couple of scripture verses I want to show you that to me are tremendous. I enjoy them. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Look at this. They were sitting down having a meal. He didn't come storming through there and chewing them out for eating. He come in there and chewed them out because they didn't believe him. Do you hear me? They knew the words of Jesus. They were with him when he spoke it. They knew the Bible. They were Hebrew boys. They knew what was going on. It isn't like they didn't know what was happening. Just like you. You understand what's going on. You know the Bible. You know the words of Jesus. Verse 14, after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, what did he do to them? He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Y'all, I'm telling you one thing. You hear the best preaching. You hear people coming through here, and they've got the best testimonies, and they come one after another one. And you still sit back there and tear things apart and don't go do it yourself. I rebuke that. I'm telling you, we're commissioned. I'm telling you, we're commissioned. I'm telling you, we're commissioned. You're not a judge. You're a fellow soldier with me. You don't have the right to wonder, well, after what he's going to speak on tonight, I'll just have to see if that's scriptural or not. Shut up. It's scriptural. I'm telling you, I rebuke that. That is not funny, and that is not fun. That's why the devil's taking us hand over fist and whooping us. I rebuke it. It's a devil of unbelief. We've been commissioned by the Most High God. We have a job to do. And it is to do certain things. And it's not to backbite and to be dissentious and to be discontented and to be in full of unbelief. And not to have an old, callous, grated man break up the fallow ground. Verse 15. He said to them, this is the people he just got through rebuking, get up from this good meal and go to work. There's people that need us. There's nations that need us. There's entire peoples that are going to hell tonight because of our hardness of heart and unbelief. Because we don't realize that we are the commissioned people of the universe. I mean, this time and this hour, it is a little scary. Do you hear me? It is. My goodness, things are changing. It's getting harder and on and on and on. But I'm telling you, we're commissioned. God would never send us out here to be outgunned and outmanned and outwhipped. They won't whip us. You can go. It don't matter who goes with you, I tell you. Last time I looked, you wasn't following me in them mountains. But that don't stop me from going. Every time I cross the border into the United States, I have to take criticism, misunderstanding, unbelief. You think you can do a better job? Have at it. I mean it. Just go get you double handfuls of it. I'm telling you, you're commissioned to do it. The problem is you don't believe it. We're commissioned. And we've got the Holy Ghost. And we've got the right to say no to the devil. Look at this. Jesus Himself. Go ye where? Into the entire world. I'm going. I am so blessed. And I believe it was 1976 when Jesus spoke to me about going to New Zealand. I'll tell you, I haven't heard a word since. I did not hear a word since. Until, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank God he wasn't quiet forever. My goodness, he's been training me in Mexico to do jobs. I must be a slow learner. It took 16 years. Had a job to do there, and it's not over. I'm going to continue to do that job also. But all of a sudden, the phone rang at our little office in South Texas. It was Auckland, New Zealand. I've never heard these people before. Don't know who they are. But they've been spoken to by the Holy Ghost to get this David Hogan fella down there to preach one of their conferences. What an opportunity. What a blessing. What a God that didn't forget. Do you hear? We wonder, how much to miss God? Pray with me, brother, how much to miss God?
God slammed him in the head with a baseball bat. That's what you feel like praying sometimes. Wake this knucklehead up to know that the world is going to hell while he's over here crying and having a pity party. And wondering if anybody loves him. Nobody loves you but Jesus. All right, that's settled. Let's go now.
Hallelujah.
It's settled, okay?
Jesus loves you. That's enough. It feels bad to me that I don't have a whole lot of friends. But hey, son, when I get out there in those jungles, the only friend that matters is with me. And his name is Jesus. Look at this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. It's not my responsibility to coax, to try to beg people. It is not. It's my responsibility to preach the gospel of the good tidings of the salvation of God. It's my responsibility to be that correct ambassador, to be that person that God has commissioned to go do that job. And it's God's job to back and fulfill His Word. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17. And signs are going to follow who? The person that has his household in order and everything's perfect. And he's a 100% human being and his face is glowing like a light bulb? No! It's the person that believes and is obedient to the commission of God. It's the person that really realizes, hey, I'm a human, and I do make mistakes just like them tonight. It's okay to make a mistake, but son, you got to pick it up and go back after it. These signs are going to follow believers. What are they? You're going to cast out demons. Y'all know that I disagree with y'all. I don't believe somebody's demon-possessed because they try to run me off the road on the interstate. Or somebody's demon-possessed because they slipped in ahead of me at the Burger King drive-thru. You devil! Devil might be the one talking. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Boy, I like that. I'm commissioned to do that, Brother Jerry. I am commissioned to do that. God, touch me. Do you understand? Do you understand? I was the guy y'all was all stepping on. I was the one at the bottom. And he come in there and got me. Do you get this? And he set me free. Look here real quick. Where are we looking? Did I tell you? No, I didn't. Go to Colossians. Boy, this is something to me. I want you to look at verse chapter 1 and verse 10. I'm getting clean out of my little thing here. That's all right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Do you know what? People need you. Did you know that? People need you. People need me. I am a much needed human being. There's people that I know where I work. They're not going to heaven if I don't go get them. Because there ain't nobody else out there but me. I know that. I can't live in your life. Do you understand that? You can't live in mine. But there's people that we're going to meet. Mine's liable to be 100,000. It's going to be 1,000,000 in Jesus' name. Yours might be 2,000,000. That's not what's important to me. What's important to me is that we realize we're commissioned to do a job for Jesus. We're not commissioned to be the judges of the earth. We're commissioned to be simple soldiers and to be good at it. And to cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues. Kashatata. Look at verse 10. I'll tell you, this is one of the most phenomenal. Every time I open my Bible, it seems like something jumps on me and sticks. And it impresses me. It really does. Look at verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Hey, I know me. But I know something else. I know Jesus. And I have the ability by the Holy Ghost to walk worthy. I'll tell you, I have been forgiven. I have been commissioned. And I believe it. That's why I'm getting results where I work. I believe what I'm doing is right. I believe in what I'm doing. I believe I'm doing it for Jesus. I believe that He sent me. That's why I've got to be right. That's why I've got to walk worthy. I've got to hold my head up, and I can't let things deter me and distract me. I've got to keep it straight, son. Because there's people looking to me, and they don't want me to fall. They want to say, yes, one can do it. I'm going to in Jesus' name. Well, you can too. We're commissioned to succeed by the Holy Ghost. We're commissioned to succeed by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. In your power, in my power, we're nothing. But in God's power, I'm profiting for the devil. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a couple of reasons for that. Let me read. Can we read together some more? Fruitful in what? Do you realize that the Bible says that God wants us to be fruitful in work? God wants us fruitful in work. What am I commissioned to do? Get in the form of Jesus. Worship Jesus. I'm commissioned to go. I'm commissioned to teach. I'm commissioned to preach. I'm commissioned to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse lepers, to open blinded eyes, to unstop the deaf ears. I'm commissioned to walk worthy, not only before God, but before men. So are you. So are you. You can do it. You have the right to succeed by the Holy Ghost. The devil can't stop you because he don't have the right. He didn't commission you. He can't take it from you. The amount of people and demons that have come against me lately, of not being smart, it just seems foolish to me that they would even try to take something from me they never gave to me. That's ridiculous to me. If you've got a $100 bill up here and you give it to me, and I'm fixing to go get it, you run back up here and say, oh, no, I changed my mind. Take it back. Hey, I might hate you the rest of my life, but you have the right. You gave it to me. But you see, Jesus touched my life.
Jesus changed my life. Jesus gave me something. Then men can't handle it. Men can't do it. Do you understand? Because look, I was in a village in Mexico here a few months ago before I come up here, and I'm preaching because I like to preach. Boy, I tell you, if I'm going to go out there, I'm going to preach to somebody. I might get trapped by a bunch of gorillas, but they're going to hear the gospel if they have the nerve to stop me. Somebody's going to get the gospel if I'm going out that door. I'm telling you right now. And I was out there in one of our churches called San Pedro Coyotla. And I'm sitting there, and this little old Indian woman walks in. The women are over here like they're supposed to be, and the men over here like they're supposed to be. Cuts down on adultery. And this woman walks up to me down there where we work. Women are not allowed to have any kind of interaction with strange men. And strange men is a man that's not in her house, her husband. So I know those laws, so I don't fool with them. None of them. And so here she comes walking up there. She's got this little baby in her arms. Baby looks like it's nice and asleep. And all right, I'm preaching, right? She comes, walks right in front of me, right up here. So I move to the other side. And I just kept on preaching. Here she comes, right over here. And I'm looking at her. So I run back over here. And I just keep on preaching. Here she comes. So I'm back over here. And she, so directly, I'm not much into, you know, I'm like I said, I'm a pretty inquisitive fella. And directly, I'm going to do something. It might be wrong, but I'm going to do something. So I reached and got the baby. That was right. Then I took cross yonder. And I noticed that she didn't follow me. I did right. I just kept preaching. Kept preaching. Got the baby laying here. Just preaching Jesus. Having a blast. Jesus' name. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. And in a few minutes, that little old baby woke up. Well, you know, like I'm up here right now, it's not time for me to be in my, it's not my turn at the daycare. So here, got to take this back. Give this baby up. So you give this baby back to mama there. So then you go back, pick up your Bible. Oh boy, you're going to preaching again. And I look over there, and now mama's knelt down on the ground crying. And I told all the people, I didn't do nothing to that baby. I did nothing to that baby. But look, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Hot dog, boy, what's wrong with you, lady? And then I found out the story. Little baby was in a coma. Little baby had been in a coma for over a week. Little baby hadn't eaten, hadn't drank no milk for a long time. Baby was dehydrated. It was just almost dead. Now look, you got to understand. See, I'm commissioned. I'm walking worthy. I'm out there doing my job. I'm out there casting out devils. I'm preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Everybody hears me because I preach loud. Got to preach to every creature. So you got to scream loud so the whole village will hear you. And look, there was no prayer like, okay, elders of the church, would you please come up here? Bring the pure olive oil. I'll tell you what there was. There was never a directed prayer at that baby. There was never a stop or a formal laying on of hands like I would do it generally. I'll do that, okay? That's the way it's supposed to be done. But there's also times when the commissioner, Jesus, does things because he wants to do it. He just does it because he likes to help people. And he enjoys making me do stuff where I get excited. Doing something out of ordinary gets me really cooking. And he's sitting there, done healed this baby. Listen to me. I'm talking about that baby was instantly healed while I was holding it. And it was nothing there except the anointing of the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying is there was no formal prayer. There was no Bible reading over the baby. I didn't even know something was wrong. I thought the thing was asleep. And I wasn't about to shake it and wake it up to make sure it was all right. Are you hearing me? When you're commissioned, you're given the power. I've been commissioned, I've been appointed, I've been anointed by the Most High God. And, buddy, that was tremendous to me. Because that lady, I walked over there, and I touched that baby, and I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for doing it because you love us. Purely the act of love touched that baby. But you see, I was out there fulfilling my commission. Do you get it? So that gives Jesus right to work through me. Because I was out there doing what He told me to do. Just simple as it comes. But that's what He's looking for. Look at this. I want to show y'all something. Verse 11. Remember last night we was moving from strength to strength? Look at this. Strengthened with all might, according to what? I got some news for you high and mighty religious devils in here. I'm not saying everybody in here is. I didn't say that. I just said there was some in here. You hear me? Okay. Your power has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Your energy is just the only thing you've done was go there. It's God's energy and God's power. And it's God's understanding. It's God's commission. It's God's Holy Ghost flowing through you. You're an open vessel. You're an honest report willing to be read among all men. That's what you are. That's what God likes to use you. And it's His power. It's His strength. It's His glory. It's His honor. It's His wonder. Man, could you... You should have seen it, baby. Look at verse 13. God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Uh-oh. Reckon He means that? Do you reckon we need to tear that part out of our Bible? Or do you reckon that He means what He says when He says the power of darkness cannot whoop you? That you've been delivered from it. But when it shows up, it may show up on you now. It might be there, honey. But I'll tell you something else. That angel's with you. He hadn't left you. The name of Jesus is there. The power of the Holy Ghost is with us. He's delivered me, I know that, us, from the power of darkness. And He's put me somewhere into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now look at verse 14. I'll tell you right now, if you've got a Bible that reads like mine does, I want you to know something. There is a precious something another here in this next verse that everybody in here should just jump up and we all just sort of fly up out of that roof. I'm telling you, son, I have been redeemed. I mean, that precious blood of Jesus has redeemed me. Now, you know what? Like I said before, you might not like my boots. You might not like my hair. I don't care. Hallelujah. Jesus loves my boots. Jesus loves my hair. He loves me all over. Hallelujah. He loves me. He loves you. We've been commissioned to do a job. He loves us. He loves us. God loves us. God loves this world. You've got a job. You've got to complete it. Do you hear me? Ah. Oh, God. Scary reading this verse. In whom we have redemption. Ah. Okay, you Bible scholars, what does that word mean? Come on. What does it mean to be redeemed? Now, I can't hear you. Bought back. Set free. What else? Washed clean. You know what happened to me? I was bound by chains of darkness. Yes. And everywhere I went, I didn't like humans. I'd done my best to prove I didn't like you. It didn't make any difference. What color? I just didn't like anybody. And when you don't like folks, they don't like you back. And some bad things start happening. But you see, one day, I run into this little old skinny preacher at this little old bitty church. And that guy had the nerve to touch me in the top of the head. And he said this. He said, free, Holy Ghost.
He went on down. He never knew what was going on. But one by one, those demon chains of bondage fell off of me, and I was redeemed. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. That precious blood of Jesus. He bought me. He didn't only buy me, son. He took that red blood. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is good. This is really good. And He washed me, and all of those demon things, those bondages and all that filth fell off of me. And I stood there before the mighty King of Kings. And I stood there redeemed and free. And I stood there forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Son, you wonder what my problem is? That's it, verse 14. I've been redeemed. That's my problem. And I'm going to stay that way. Free. Redeemed. Bought with a price. What a price God paid for my freedom. You think I'm going to let some addiction, whether it's to money, to women, to clothes, to a religion, to knowledge, you think I'm going to let something bind me back up and stop what God has already started in my life? You better think again, buddy. I'm staying free. I've got the right to stay free. And you keep your old stinking cages to yourself. I'm staying out of them. I'm staying out of them. I'm telling you, I was in a meeting not long ago, and these people looked at me just, "What camp do you belong to, boy?" Well, shit. Can't say as I belong to any camp. "Yes, now, how was you raised in the Holy Ghost? We want to know how you was. Who backs you in the spiritual realm? Who is your covering?" That's a hard question, fella. Open your Bibles real quick. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want to read y'all something. Verse 14. It says, "In whom we," me, I'm part of the we, "have redemption." Ah, freedom. There it is. It's Jesus. Is that who y'all want to know who it was? It was Jesus. That's who gave me my foundation. That's who gave me my battle armor. That's who gave me my commission. And that's who told me, "Go get him, boy." Now you got trouble with that? Go take it up with him. But you leave me alone. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. Yeah. Yahoo! It had been a few days since I had me a manifestation. I live on them things. I like them. I like to tackle things that nobody else likes. I enjoy God putting me in places where other men... back up slow, everybody. I like to look up in them holes and go, "Come out of there! We got something to talk about, boy! You devil! I come for you." If people don't like me using that language, somehow or another it makes them nervous. You think it makes you nervous? You ought to see what it does to that devil. Because he's scared of me. Because I realize that I've been redeemed. You better believe I'm free. God feels good. Yeah, watch. That feels good, boy. I don't know anything to anybody but to love that man. That's a good thing. It's a real good thing. You know, we was hiking, and I'll try to set the little stage for you. Is it all right? Have I got time still? Oh, it's still early, isn't it? Second Corinthians chapter 5. Alright, look. You gotta understand, my son is out of Bible school now. He's married. He's got his own little house. He's set up ministry. He's got his little four-wheel drive truck. His little 600 XR Honda. He's got his little hiking boots. I gave him a few sections of land out there to work. A few churches. Alright, boy. Hey, I raised you all your life for this purpose right here. Now go get it.
He looked at me. All right, Pop. I'm serious. I'm really serious. And that young man, boy, I set up some services so I could be with him, because I'm always with my American section leaders, you know, three or four services. If I try to get three or four services a month. And so I was out there with my son. I mean, get this feeling. It's just a great feeling of accomplishment, of success. This boy has been raised up in the gospel. He's carrying on the torch. He's the next generation. He's going to do it. You know he is. He's a good, solid boy. And he's out there. Now, this is his work that he's responsible for. You got about 9 Mexican pastors. We're hiking. I mean, get this picture. This is wonderful to me. I feel complete. Do you hear me? I feel satisfied in what I'm telling you. I mean, I'm going along. I'm hiking. I'm back there in the back, and I'm looking at this little picture. You got some mountains rising up over here, 7,000-8,000 feet, you know. Oh, it's just beautiful, man. Sun's going, you know, sun. Well, it ain't going down yet. It's still up pretty high because we're on our way to church. It's about 100, probably 102 degrees. I'm sweating like I am now. You know, I'm hiking along. My son's up there, and he's talking to the Indian brothers, getting everything all figured out. Oh, man. Satisfying to a leader, satisfying to a daddy. I'm telling you, it's an accomplished feeling the way things are in life now. Do you hear me? And I'm going along, and I mean, the parrots are flying over. I mean, it's just a beautiful picture out in the woods, the jungle out there, and rivers running over every side, and you're hiking, you're down, and boy, and it's fun. And going to preach the gospel. I mean, what is... There's nothing better for me in life than to be on my way to preach the gospel. And my son's following God, and the Indians are doing good, and the work is up. And oh, what a privilege. Just what an honor. Man, something's going right. And you get up there, and you don't never know. I don't ever know. I wish I was as spiritual as most folks. But I was up there, and all of a sudden, an Indian comes running out of the jungle. He's talking to the head man up there in the front. They come back to my son. My son just looks over his shoulder at me like this. I mean, come help me out, Pop. Okay. So I go up there. And it's a situation off up the mountain. They need me to come by and pray. The devil has manifested. And I'm sitting there. Look. The only way that scenario could have been any better was to have the famous warlock of the area challenge you when you show up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the only way to make it any better. And I'm going, yes, we'll be by there directly. Tell him to keep manifesting. We'll be by after a while. So we go on over there. I'm serious. That's what I told him. So we went on over there. We preached the gospel. Had a great time at church. I'm coming back, and they led us through the woods. And now the sun's starting to set. Kind of getting a eerie feeling now, you know. All right. It's better. It's more, you know, he gets a greater opportunity when things are more scary, you see. So you're walking up there. And even though I'm real... I don't know the right word. I don't know what to say. I always act like things are not serious to me. What is that called? You know, I'm always just kind of jovial, kind of just, yeah, kind of lighthearted, just, you know. But the whole time, you got these radars in front of you. Going on, you know, just searching out. Just looking for death. I come walking up into the yard. God, this is wonderful. Do you hear me? So there's a great... Now look, my son's here, you know. Okay, this is how you do it, son. Watch. You walk in there. You know, here's the witchcraft that's ringed the house. Walk up there and let the brothers go in first, because it's a real touchy... customs thing, because these people aren't saved and they're afraid of us to begin with, and they're okaying for us to come there and pray, but it's a real kind of touchy situation.
So I'm being real polite and real Indian. But at the same time, I'm very alert. And I found what I was looking for. Every meter on the outside of that house was some fetish. Y'all know what that is, everybody? Everybody knows what fetish is, right? Everybody? Who said no? Fetish is a point of contact of faith for the witch doctor's people. In other words, he puts together some kind of herbs or some kind of meat or something, fruit, and he hexes it, which is supposed to, they have faith that that will ward off the evil spirits. Okay, you got that now? Now you know what fetish is, right? All right, so I saw that. So I know that the black magic warlock is there. All right, then have a showdown. Yeah. Then I heard this fast, Spanish, I guess it was. There's a guy in there had these beads, little cross dangling on the bottom. Y'all ever heard of that before? It's called a rosary. It don't work. Pray for them beads up one and down the other. They ain't going to help you. You got to pray to Jesus. You got to pray to Father God in Jesus' name, son. That's where you're going to get your help. So he's in there. Now we got two of the three enemies of the faith. So now I'm looking around for that spiritual healer. He's got to be here somewhere. Sure enough, I take one step inside the door. There he is. Got his little potions and natural herbs. And he's doing his thing and chanting and carrying on. And I said to myself, this is as good as it gets. You got a manifested devil. You got all your enemies here. You got unsaved folks in trouble. How much better do you need it? Wow! This is wonderful! So I'm looking around for some more opposition. Let's get a little more while we're there. And I'll be if he wasn't hanging there. I walk right over to him, and he was head high to me. It was a goat's head. This is the maximum witchcraft. Yes! I'm serious. That's the way I approach it. Come on with it. Let's take them all on at once. Because if what you're doing can't handle this, you need to try what I'm doing. It works. And I'm this far from that thing. It's got the little bells and the fetish hanging off the back of the goat's head. I'm looking into his eyeballs. And I'm telling him, your last day in this house, bud. You out of here in the name of Jesus. You done found yourself up against the wall. You are whooped. My God's going to thump your head out of here. You're going to see it, buddy boy. And I'm talking just as loud as I'm talking right now to him. And all my opposition over there. Look like some Christians sometimes when I talk to them. They look up me one side and down the other. Who do you think you are, boy? I don't think I'm anybody, but I think my big brother Jesus is. Now, my Redeemer is somebody. Now, you've got to mess with somebody. You be messing with him. He's here, right? Here with us. Name is Jesus. Yes, sir. Went over there and they raised up that lady's dress, and I'll tell you what, they didn't tell me how the devil was manifested. But it was one of the stranger things I've seen. They raised her dress up and she had these huge sores up and down her back and on her legs. But down the vertebrae of her back, come on, were horns sticking out. Down every one of them. Boy, this keeps getting better, doesn't it? I mean, think of it. It's as bad as you want it, isn't it? Now what if that Holy Ghost comes blowing in there and fixes everything? Isn't there going to be revival, wouldn't you guess? Wow! This is perfect! People say, boy, you shouldn't talk so light of this stuff. I'm not talking light of it. I'm serious. I had nothing to do with this except I was there. I was having faith believing God could whoop all these enemies plus fix her up. My only part was believing and being one of the commissioned ones and being where I was commissioned to. See, I was fulfilling my appointment. You following me? I was being a correct ambassador for Jesus. I wasn't allowing intimidation and fear and men's ruthlessness and these manifestations to shut me down or to back me up or to hold me or to thwart what I was doing for Jesus. They don't have the right to slow me down. I don't ever recall Jesus giving them the right to tell me what to do. And I want to read a verse to you. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. Does y'all say anything like mine? If the man is insane, let him be insane. If I'm crazy, let me alone. I'm helping a lot of folks. Brother Hogan, you're crazy. Well, leave me alone. Let me stay crazy. Don't try to make me like you think I should be. God went way out of His way nailing His Son to that tree to free me, to commission me, to ordain me, to appoint me, to empower me so I could do what He wants done. Do you understand? Do you understand? God, it was fun. I laid down there, or sat down there on my knees beside her. I said, Grandma, hay un camino, se llama Jesucristo. Hay un camino nomás. No hay dos, no hay tres, no hay uno, solo un camino se llama Jesucristo. And then I had to go into Indian because she couldn't understand Spanish. Sete otle, si pia, si cabaliste para noche tu cuante. She accepted Jesus as Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Shoo! This is good. Now we're starting to get somewhere. You're in trouble now, devil. We got our foot in the door. You're in trouble. Jesus is King and Lord, and you're fixing to get thumped out of here. I'll tell you what I do is fun. I'm a very serious human being. If you don't believe me, cross me. Manifest the devil, you'll find out. But I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, when it comes to getting Indians delivered and saved, I love what I do for a living. I'll tell you, I've been appointed. You can be too. You can be commissioned. You can be empowered. You can be that person. The devil tells all of us, he tells me every day of my life that I'm nothing, but I am something. I'm something in Jesus. And buddy, I laid hands on Grandma and I said, thank you, Holy God, in the name of Jesus, that these powers of darkness that are all around us, they do not have the authority to shut my mouth. And I confess Jesus is Lord over Grandma. And I confess Jesus is Lord over this house. I confess Jesus is Lord over this property. Now you devils, out of here in Jesus' name. Hasta musla, Grandma. Goodbye, Grandma. See you tomorrow. See you later. Got up, walked back over there to the devil's head. Told you so. Gone. And if you want to make a witch doctor mad, make fun of his old silly goat head. He's going to get mad at you. He's going to send that demon after you. But that's all right. Because look, I mean, get this. Here we go now. We're walking home. Man, I mean, the sun's going down over there. It's cooling off about 85 degrees. Man, everything's good. Boy, we had church, had demon manifestation. Woo! Yes! I am satisfied. So I'm walking home. I'm the last man in the line. Come up on this big old wood gate. We all went through it. I shut it. We're walking. All of a sudden,
The gate's opening. Ha! Holler at the brothers. Look! The gate's opening by itself. There ain't nobody there. But I said, he followed us. The devil. Now get this. The demon force that was controlling that home came after us. The gate slammed. Well, he's in the pasture with us. But you can't see him. Does that make you nervous? No. Pray in tongues, fellas. Believe God for the blood of Jesus, the power that's in the blood. Begin to worship God for the power of the cross. Fellas, worship Jesus. Let that mighty Holy Ghost come down here. Let's have it out right now, once and for all. Come on, Holy Ghost. You didn't bring me out here for some demon to grab and eat me up. You take him and you deal with him. In the name of Jesus. And I mean to tell you, there was all of a sudden a light manifested over there. A ball of fire. It was gone. Just like that. And I looked at those brothers and I said, hey, fellas, do y'all know what that means? And everybody said, yes. Grandma's healed, ain't she? Yeah. 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 The devil got hostile because he got booted out of that house. So he's going to come harass us, come found us, got booted out before we was. Isn't that something? Brother Claudio, who was the head man that was with me at the time, he said, he went back. I saw him about 5 days after that. He had gone back 3 days after that. He went and saw Grandma, and I'm telling you, every one of them horns were gone. All of them sores were healed. And look at here. Grandma was in church, had her whole clan with her, and every one of them got born again. Woo! Come on! Yes! 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Like I said, if I'm crazy, let me alone. I'm serious. Let me alone. Because what I'm doing is working. I'm commissioned. And I'm appointed by the Holy Ghost. I'm pretty sure you could do a better job. Like I said before. Only problem is, I ain't never seen you out there doing your job yet. Follow me? I'm not being mean to you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to get you to understand. You have been whipped, you have been lied to, you have been deceived, you have been blanketed with deceit from the devil. Because you think you've got to be a certain way with a certain attitude and reach a certain perfection before you can do something. You'll never make it to where you think that you're supposed to be. You'll never get there. You got to trust Jesus. You got to do it God's way. You got to believe His Word when it says we're commissioned. And you got to go and act it out and do it what's right. And it'll work for you. In Jesus' name. It says right in my Bible, for the love of God constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live. Now look at verse 15. This is a very serious verse. It's a very serious verse. And I do realize that most people do not understand this, because I know they don't understand it because they're not doing it. My Bible says that if He died, Jesus died for all, that they, us, me, you, us, we, us, nosotros, to one thing, which live, should not live henceforth to themselves, but they should live to Him, Jesus, which died for them and rose again. I got some good news. Hallelujah. Jesus ain't on that crucifix you're wearing. Jesus ain't in that little old manger you put in front of your house every year. Jesus is off the cross. He has been delivered. Do you understand that? He is not in some grave somewhere. You forget it. Don't go look for some tomb in Israel, son. Jesus is in the heavenlies with Father God. Do you hear me? He's free. Like you and I. And it says in my Bible, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we had known Christ, after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, what is it? What are we? I'm different. I'm a new breed. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you I'm different. But I'm going to tell you, it takes difference to succeed where I work. I'm going to tell you, just being a normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill, oh, praise the Lord type fellow is going to get you run over where I live. You got to be a nut. You got to believe what the Bible says. You got to think God means business. You got to be serious about what God says about what you're supposed to be commissioned to do. I'm serious, man. But look, I was in a pastor's conference. Do I have time to tell another story? I was in a pastor's conference down there in Mexico, and one of my section leaders, I have a section, I don't mean nothing to y'all, I was in a pastor's conference. and there was about, I don't know, 15, 18 of our national leaders were there, and we was having a little conference, just talking back and forth, and they was telling me what some of their problems was, and, you know, and back and forth, and we was praying and praying for each other and so forth. And here comes this long-haired guy walking up, slow, long-haired. Down here. Face sunken in. Real lost all his complexion. His eyes are black. And I'm up here and I'm talking, you know. I'm not really preaching. I'm just teaching on some of the fundamental church government things and talking back and forth with the men of God there. And this guy walks right up in the middle of us. Just looking at me, watching me. He turned, looked me right in the eye. Now I'm staring him right in the face. I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, well, he's about 5'11"? No, he's about 5'8", I guess. Little skinny thing. I said, what do you want, boy? Don't you realize I'm having a meeting? Do you understand who I am? He said, yes, sir, I know who you are. You're Hermano David. I said, that's right. Who told you that? He said, one of these preachers here told me that if I could find where you was, if I could get you to lay your hands on me, that the devil would leave me. I said, all that's the truth. I said, now I want to know one thing. Why do you want me to pray for you? He said something. Now, this is really a serious one. This is one that bothers me a little bit. See? Something in him moving around inside. Goes down in his legs. During the night, it comes out and comes up through his head. And at night, snakes come out the top of his head. In the morning, they wake up as snakes all over, poisonous snakes. And I'm going, snakes, huh? Uh-huh. I believe that. Sure I do. So you see, I was in on a deliverance one time where we laid hands on a man and ants came out every pore in the man's body. And he was delivered. So I tell him, okay, I need some background information on you, devil. What do you do for a living? I'm an assassin. Say what? I'm an assassin. Well, that stands to reason why you got devils coming out the top of your head. You kill folks. Lord, honey. You need devils coming out the top of your head. You're going to kill folks. And they need to bite you and you die instead of you having to go around killing all these folks. He said, I won't deliver it. I said, all right. Turns out he had been in. I knew about this one assassination we had. It happened three blocks from my house. I heard it when it happened. Automatic weapons began to fire, and the lieutenant governor of our state was killed. He was one of the guys killed. But the only problem was, the people he killed, the family had money. So they went and got the best warlock they could find. Paid him a bunch of money and said, we don't want him to die. We want him tormented. So they cast these spells on this guy, and these snakes was in him, and they'd come out of him every night. So now y'all are up to speed on what was going on, right?
Y'all ever read verse 17? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 4. My Bible says, therefore, if any man, assassins, or good people like you, doesn't matter, we're all in need of redemption. We all need to realize, you understand that I'm commissioned to help liberate us back. Isn't that a wonderful job? Man, think of it now. An assassin.
What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an assassin. Good. What kind of a degree do you have in that? Well, I got an AK-47 M16. Oh, yeah, well, I like your degrees. Just don't swing them around this way.
I said to him, sir, you must be born again. The only way for you to receive redemption and healing and deliverance is through bowing your knee to Jesus Christ and confessing Him as Lord and believing Him in your heart as Lord and Savior. He said, how do I go about it? So I went through a little bit of Romans and a little bit of salvation with him, knelt down in the dirt, led him to Jesus. God, what a privilege. I told y'all last night, I'm privileged. Yeah. God, leave that stuff into me. You know, he'll never be in Charisma Magazine. You know that? Shepherd. You know, he'll never write a book. But his name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And you know, we laid hands on him in Jesus' name. And I commanded the witchcraft spirits out of we did. In Jesus' name, you spirits of darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I command you by the Holy Ghost to loose this man's life. And with the authority of the Lord Jesus that I've got, get out of him in Jesus' name. And he looked at me. He said, that's all there is to it? I said, that's it. I'm free now. You're free. I can be normal now. You can be known. See you later, Fred. Have a nice day. And that was the end of it. I didn't see the snake come wiggling out of the top of his nose or nothing. That night he went home. Still sick. You hear me? He laid down in that bed. And that thing started coming out. It started doing an emotion. People, the brothers ran. They held this guy down. That thing was moving inside of him. I'm telling you, it looked like a Steven Spielberg movie thing. Where them demons are moving around. And I'm telling you, that thing come flying out top of that guy's head. And they threw it in the fire and it's never been back. Huh? What a God. Huh? Come on. Isn't that something? That happened on the 15th of September, 1993. And 2 weeks later, the 28th of September, I was in another village. It was several hundred Indians were there. We was having a little mini conference. I was going to preach and have a blast. And there's something I like to do, saints. I had about 9 or 10 of my American missionaries there with us. And what I like to do when I get all those missionaries there, I like to take all the kids. Gather up all the kids and put them in a pile. And there's a whole slew of them, you know. And I go get miracles from the Indians. I drag them over there. Come here. What happened to you? What did Jesus do for you? Well, I didn't have any bones in my leg, and Jesus grew me some new legs. And all the little kids, yay, yay. I take that and go put it back, and I get these other two girls. I come over here with me. I bring them over there and I stand them up there. What did Jesus do for y'all? Well, we're sisters, you know, and both of us died of this disease. And I'll tell you, I really praise God. Brother Hogan brought the gospel because the brothers came and they spoke the word of the Lord over us. We was dead for 3 days and God raised us from the dead. Wow! So I take those two guys, girls, and I go back over there and I get another one. Come back over here with me. Come over here. And it's a grandma. Grandma, would you mind telling these kids what God's done for you? Well, I was dying with tuberculosis. I was coughing up a liter of mucus and blood every day. I was laying in my bed. I'd been in my bed for about a year and a half. And then I heard that Brother Hogan had come and brought the gospel. Do you hear how... This is wonderful. Do you understand? I'm commissioned. Do you understand? You're commissioned. I'm appointed, you're appointed to worship. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, saints. And Grandma said to him, I really thank God for Brother Hogan. He brought Jesus, now I'm healed, and oh, and I bring her away. And all of a sudden, I was running back and forth with all these miracle people because I want our kids to grow up normal lifestyle, dead raising, tuberculosis healed, lame people walking, blinded eyes open. Normal! 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 So when I get a chance, and I got a whole group of our kids, man, I'll go get all these people, and I'll run over there, and I'll just have a miracle class with them. They'll never forget it. They'll never forget it in their whole life. They saw the handiwork of God. Yeah. And then guess what happened? I remembered the snake man. Ah! So I went and got the head brother. Hermano, ¿dónde está el señor de las culebras? Where's the man that snakes comes out of his head at? Where's he at? I didn't see him coming. Oh, yes, he came, Brother Hogan. Nah. He didn't come. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Go get him. Here come, they brought this man. He had his hair cut off. Pretty short it was down, still down to his shoulders, but short compared to what he was. His face was full again. I didn't even recognize him when he came in. He was completely healed. Hey, look. Look. And I told him, kids, I said, look. Look. This just happened. This is hot, hot, hot. And them kids have fun with me, and I'll have fun with them. But they're going to remember one thing. We can cast out death. We can raise the dead. Because I saw it with my own eyes, they'll say. Isn't that something? That's something. That's really something. That's really something. And I appreciate it so much. Because all of a sudden, this snake man, he disappeared. I wonder where he went. I wasn't through talking to him, because he knows who I am. Yes, he knows. You know what he wanted to do? He went and got his wife, and his mom-in-law, and his daddy-in-law, and all his kids. And here they come. I said, who are these people? This is my family. What do they want? They want Jesus. Wah! Do you hear me, saints? I'm telling you, what I do is important. What you do is important. I'm telling you, people need you. Do you understand that? We're needed. The gospel is real. Look at this. In verse 18, all things are of God, and who God has reconciled to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to the wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Look at that next phrase. I dare you to look. Not charging us. Not imputing us. Look at that. With our transgression. Man, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Man, what a God. What a wonderful God. I'm telling you, I'm commissioned. I'm telling you, that's the word of the Lord for you. You listen to me. You need to understand that we're commissioned. You don't let anything deviate you off of that. Don't let anything take you off of that commission that God's given to you. I'm telling you right now, one of the problems that I'm facing out here in the United States is people are disoriented. They don't know where to go, man. They're frustrated. What to do? What to do? What to do? Nothing's changed. The world's still going to hell, friend. There's plenty of demons out there to cast out. There's plenty of dead folks to raise. There's plenty of blinded eyes and lame people to heal. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. I'm going to read one verse for you and quit. 1 Corinthians 4. I can't tell you the times I preach on this verse. Every time I go somewhere, I preach on this. Boy, it's good. 1 Corinthians 4. You know where I'm going. Verse 19. You know I'm going to verse 19. If the Lord will,
Let's drop. Let's start at 18 so I can fuss at you some. Is that all right? Some are puffed up.
Oh, God.
Let's go ahead and scratch that out of our Bible, too. As though I will not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will not know not, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, the kingdom of God, is not a bunch of idle false words. The kingdom of God is honest power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, everything you do, you should incorporate the life of God into it. Every message you preach, you should talk about the glorious power of God. Everything you do. Because that's what the world needs, buddy. It don't need psychology. It don't need counseling. It needs power. It don't need a bunch of words. It needs power. The world needs power. The world needs power. Here. While y'all are standing up, I'm going to tell y'all one more portion. Just really be encouraged. I think you already are, and I think you understand the need to be discipled, to be commissioned, to be sent, to be appointed, to worship. I mean, it's God to do those things. You better listen to me. Please listen to me. I'm not just trying to get up here and jump and shout and run all about for just so you can look at me. I've got a rhyme and a reason for the things I do. Man, I've got to encourage you. I'm telling you, time's short. I'm telling you, time is short. This world's going to hell while you and I are playing religious games. I'm telling you, it is. Can't you just... I tell you, I want you to... In a minute, I'm going to want you to come up here with me. And I want us to repent. I want us to get a recommissioning. I mean it. I want to spend a little time worshiping God. These fellas can really get it, can't they? Man, I'll tell you. Amazing. I wish I could play. Nah, I'm glad I can't. I might get prideful if I could do two things. One's enough. One's enough. I'm glad I need people. You know that? You can get to where you don't need anybody. Yeah. Hear that, America? You fancy houses and you fenced-in yards. Go to work, come home, shut the door behind you real quick. Don't let another garbage slide in with you. That's a devil. You need to get out in that garbage and regain it for the Holy Ghost. Back it up and forming communities all shut up and blocked in. It's coming in there with you, buddy. You hear me? We got to realize what the commissions are from the Holy Ghost. Because look, I was in Pepe Chica. These people can't speak Spanish. And my Indian's pretty good, but whenever you go to all-dialect village, it's kind of bumpy, you know. And I was there preaching, and it's fun to me to preach there, and I enjoy it. As soon as service is over, I'm ready to go to the house. I've done what I've come here to do. Hey, I've laid hands on the sick. Hallelujah, I preach the gospel to the poor. I'll tell you, hallelujah, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And the brother looks at me and says, yeah, but there's one more thing you got to do. No, no, no. I'm tired. I'm going to the house. He said, no, you're not. You're coming with us. Grandma needs you. Did you know that God will heal you? He said, that's why I told him to send for you, brother. I said, all right. I said, you must be born again, Grandma. When I taught her how to be born again, let her to you. I mean, she swelled up on that shit. I seen a blow of dog on the side of the road after she'd run over. That's what it looked like. Laid hands on her. Down in there. And you say to the devil, the Lord will beat you. In the name of Jesus, whatever your name is, whether it's a religious spirit, whether it's witchcraft, whether it's a sickness, a disease, whatever your name is, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. He's telling him, goodbye, Grandma. And you tell him to those devils, and you get as serious as you can, and you tell him, you're a loser. What I do works, you boys need to repent. Good night. We go home.
But a couple of days later, look. Now, look, here's her again. I'm in this area. It's wonderful. Happens to me all the time. All the time. I'm riding down this old bumpy old muddy road in my four-wheel drive. Got my truckload of Indians. I'm going to preach the gospel. Hey.
Woo!
Air conditioning's blowing in my face.
Woo!
Good.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I look up the mountain up there. That's where I'm going with my truck. Bunch of women running. Get on up there. I jump out. I said, lady, come on. I know my truck's full. We'll stop you in there somewhere. These older ladies. I'm only making more trouble for you. Release me, Bobby. I don't want nothing to do with your steel horse, Brother Holmes. Mira. No trouble for you. ¿Cuál es eso? I'm a cochone. No. I don't know my steel horse. Go take care of him. Get on up in there. I'm only making more trouble for what? I don't know what to do with your steel horse. So I already went him a little while. I said, hey, who's the chaplain, y'all? Just make it on up the church and fix him. All right. One of the brothers said to me, Brother Hogan, you know who that is right there? Don't know him. Yes, he is. No, he doesn't. Yes, he is. No, he doesn't. I'm serious. That's the way it goes with me. I don't know him. Y'all know who it was, right? His grandma. Totally healed. It was only 3 days later. Isn't that something? And look, Grandma's running up the hill to church. And I didn't tell you how old she was. She was 82 years old. Come on. Come on. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all stand up with me, please, and let's pray. Strangest thing you ever saw. And I remembered to bring my Amplified Bible, but I forgot to read out of it. Aren't y'all blessed? I'm such a sophisticated, intelligent fella. Isn't that something? I tell you, God uses whoever he wants to go. Let's worship him. He's worthy. And I want you to pray right now, right where you are, and seriously be attentive to what I've been saying to you. And I'm telling you, God wants you to see the need for recommissioning. Ain't nothing changed except in your mind, in your heart, I'm telling you. But I want you to pray right now. And I'd really like to see somebody come up here with me. Father God, thank you for your precious word. Precious Holy Ghost, you're so worthy. Mighty God, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for it. God, it's so precious to me, and you know that. To God, I count it special. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you there ain't a devil big enough to knock it out. God, I'm so confident in you and your word and your thought. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, thank you for touching your thoughts, your people, your feet. Church, I'd like for you to come up here with me. If you've been hearing what I've been saying, I'm calling out to you. That God wants to commission us. God wants us to realize why we are already commissioned. God wants us to understand the need that the world has is you and I. Do you understand this? Are you getting this? God needs us. We're commissioned by the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, some of you are frustrated. Some of you, I'm telling you, you don't realize what's going on. What's going on? It's a lying demon spirit trying to rip you off. I'm telling you. Man, I'm telling you, we're commissioned. Do you understand who you are, brother? You somebody, man. I mean, people may not view you that way, but it don't matter what people say. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, and God's eyes, we are somebody. Come on, man. I'm somebody that sees you. I'm sorry. Who are you? I'm telling you, you are. Do you hear me? Hear me, please. We're somebody. We're committed. We're atonement. I want to worship in here. And I want you people because you're totally saturated with the anointing. Listen, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. I don't know what you're going to think of me. Well, I really don't care. You know, everyone's just... But there's a there is a tangible thing God lets me feel that I can feel occasionally. This heat. And I mean it's real heat. I can stick my hands up. It's like putting them in a furnace. And I'm telling you, it feels nice. I'm not psyching you. I ain't said nothing to you about money. Not what I'm here for. I didn't cut no contract with these men of God. They're lost. They're here. I don't agree with it. I got invited to New Zealand. How much they don't pay you? Didn't ask them. Who's going to pay the plane ticket? Didn't ask them. One way or another, it'll get paid. Because I'm committed. And the perfect will of God will be manifested because I allow it to flow. You understand? I'm not going to block it with unbelief and doubt. God is real. You got to know what it's like, I'm telling you, to hold that baby. And come back. I had no idea. There was no height. There was nothing but a woman that was breaking tradition. It was a woman breaking custom. I was trying to evade it. There was a God who wanted to do to heal that baby. Do you understand? I'd like y'all to pray. Please, right now, you people down here. In the name of Jesus. Would you come up here and let's sing some stuff, please? I'm sure you remember, I really like something about the blood of Jesus. Is that all right? It's kind of drag, isn't it? Because it's that precious blood that redeemed my hide. You understand? You know, when people have hurt my feelings, I have been stomped on, my emotions. I care for folks and they don't care for me. But you know what? Jesus does. Jesus does. Come on. Be freed of all that garbage, man. Be commissioned. Be freed. Be blessed. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Tonight's our night. I'm telling you. Mighty Holy Ghost, we welcome you. You've been here a while. You're a blessing, Mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God, I honor you. I ask you to sweep over this people. Sweep over your people, God. Sweep over us, God. I've seen you do it so many dozens of times, God. It's so good. We appreciate the blood of Jesus, Father. Oh, the precious blood. Just go ahead and worship God, saints. Go ahead. Whatever you came for, you're going to be healed. Do you hear me? Whether it's an emotional healing, whether it's a spiritual healing, you will be healed. In the name of Jesus. Worship God. Worship the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, God, we come to your appointment. We worship you, Lord. God, and we're going to go forth teaching and preaching the gospel. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost.
The blood that